With you, go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians one more time, chapter 10 and verse 13. We'll be wrapping up our series on 1 Corinthians today. Next week, we'll start on a new series, Working for the Lord, on serving God in the workplace. Sometimes we are tempted to think of work in our workplaces as something very separate from our lives as Christians, that we have, the church and our home, and then we have the workplace, which is just a whole different world. But of course, God is there, and God calls us to be His people there as much as anywhere else. And so, how do we live as people faithful to God in the workplace? That's what we'll look at here these next few weeks. We're going to be looking at the stories of some stories from the lives of Daniel and Nehemiah, Joseph, back in the book of Genesis, whom we studied several weeks ago now, Paul in the New Testament. We'll be looking at their lives and drawing some lessons from them, also from the Bible's book of Proverbs, and even from the plight of Christian slaves. We'll actually start there and look at some teaching given to slaves and what that means for, what that teaching means for how we conduct ourselves as believers in the workplace. And today we'll close this series on 1 Corinthians with what I think is one of the most important single verses in this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, just 25-ish years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's just one verse, which feels a little odd to me after so many lessons where we covered 1 to 3 chapters all at once, looking at some big themes in 1 Corinthians, but just one verse today, but it will spread out from there and look at several passages from other parts of the Bible. So 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says this, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." The context of this verse is the Apostle Paul's teaching in chapters 8 through 10 on whether or not Christians should eat food that's been sacrificed to idols. You may have been here for that lesson a few weeks ago. And his teaching basically amounts to, eat whatever you want. God provided all food for our enjoyment, for our nourishment. We know it comes from God, and so you can eat whatever you want. But there are a couple of caveats here. One is, don't eat the food if it will cause a brother or sister to be tempted into idolatry. They see you, knowing that you are a believer, eating food that's been sacrificed to idols. They might think you're worshiping that idol. In that case, you need to not eat it because it might lead them to worship that idol as well. Or if eating the food would communicate to an unbeliever that you worship idols. You know, kind of the same situation, but with an unbeliever. In that case, too, you need to not eat the food so that they don't think that you're worshiping idols. They need to see that you are true to Jesus and to the one true God. And most importantly, in chapters 8 through 10, is the theme of chapter 10 itself, which is, I'm sorry, that's chapters 9 through 11, no, 8 through 10. No, that's right. Is the theme in chapter 10. I get mixed up once in a while, but we got it straight. Most important is the theme in chapter 10, don't ever worship idols. Don't ever worship idols. But the temptation to worship idols is strong in a culture like theirs where idols were everywhere and everyone worshiped them. Outside of Judaism, monotheism, the belief in only one God, was exceedingly rare in the ancient world. And so two people who grew up in that culture where you just worshiped all the gods, Paul gives this teaching on temptation. No matter how strong the temptation may seem at the moment, God can get you through it. He will help you. No matter what the temptation is that you're facing, whether it's a temptation to idolatry or to anything else, God will help you get through it. So in this verse, Paul says first, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. All the ways that we're tempted, They're just normal. Everyone deals with temptations like these. We're tempted to be selfish. We're tempted to be angry inappropriately. We're tempted to be lazy or to focus our lives around some idol that is not God in place of God. Every temptation we face, whatever it might be, it's normal. It's common to men, Paul says. So don't think that you have it so much worse than everyone else, that Satan tempts you worse than he tempts everyone else. Everyone goes through this. And then Paul says next, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. God is faithful. You can trust him. You can depend on him. He never leaves his people alone when they're tempted. The only time God will ever leave us is when we leave him first. And even then, he doesn't go anywhere, but we do. And he watches in hope that we will return. And one specific way in which God demonstrates his faithfulness is here in this verse, by limiting the power of the temptations that we face. He will never let any temptation overwhelm us. He will. He knows our levels of spiritual maturity. He knows our ability to withstand temptation. And he loves us too much to let any temptation overwhelm us. He will never let any temptation crush us like a tidal wave and we're just helpless against it. He just won't let that happen. For example, in the story of Job, some of you remember the story of Job. In the book of Job, chapter 1, God gives Satan permission to test Job's faith. But he limits how much Satan can do to Job. He says, you can go this far and no farther. And Satan does terrible things to Job to tempt him to renounce his faith in God. But Satan in that story cannot go past the limit God has set. Similarly for us, God limits the devil's power so that no temptation that we cannot endure can come upon us. And then Paul tells us, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God will always give you a way out. You do not have to sin. God will always give you a way out because he is faithful. God will provide some way of escape from the temptation. Like when Jesus was tempted by the devil. That story is in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. When Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil came and tempted him 3 times, God gave Jesus a way out. His way of escape in that story was through Scripture. He remembered the teachings of Scripture and he quoted them back at the devil in order to undermine the power of the devil's temptations. Jesus remembered the teachings of Scripture and they helped him escape from those temptations. To Job, God gave endurance. God had already taught Job such faith that even as Job struggled to understand why so many terrible things were happening to him, he was able to endure. That was his escape route. To the apostles in the book of Acts, when the Christian faith was just right at its very beginning, whenever they were persecuted by Jewish leaders or by non-Jewish leaders, God gave them strength through their knowledge that he had raised Jesus from the dead. They were witnesses of the resurrection, of the resurrected Jesus. They knew he had been raised. So even if their persecutors threatened to kill them, the apostles held to their faith, knowing that just as God had raised Jesus from the dead, so he would also make good on his promise to raise from the dead those who follow Jesus. And so their escape route was their knowledge of what God had done through Jesus. So we can trust God to help us when we're faced with temptation. God is faithful. He limits the temptations that can come upon us, and he gives us ways to escape them. Therefore, we never have any excuse for sin. To make excuses for our sin is to say God is not faithful. You know, if I said, someone used to say, the devil made me do it. You know, the devil made me do it. It wasn't my fault. What we're saying there is the devil's stronger than God. God is not faithful. He couldn't stop the devil. As if I tried so hard to turn away from this temptation, but it was just so powerful that there was nothing God and I could do. We were just helpless against it. It was a tidal wave and it washed us away. The money was, it was sitting there. You don't understand. It was just sitting there. I had to take it. That woman, that man, you weren't there. You didn't see them. They were so amazing. It was impossible not to go after them. Never mind my marriage vows. No, God is faithful. He always gives us a way out so that we can endure every temptation and be victorious over it. If we say the temptation was just too much for us, we're declaring that God is not faithful, when really the fault lies with us for not taking the escape route that God gave us. So Paul here in 1 Corinthians and scripture elsewhere teaches us to flee from temptation. God gives you a way of escape, take it. Run from that temptation. In our text last week from chapter 11, when we talked about Paul's teaching there concerning the Lord's Supper, Paul was criticizing the church for not waiting for each other when they gathered for that sacred meal. They were giving in to the temptation to despise the poor by eating before the poor members of the church could be there and have any opportunity to eat. But Paul points out a way of escape from that temptation. Chapter 11, verse 34, he says, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. That way, when they get together, they won't be tempted by hunger to dishonor Christ's church by failing to wait for each other. That's their escape route. Just eat before you come. And so in chapter 10, talking about this issue of idolatry, Paul teaches the church in verse 13 that even when the pressure to participate in idolatry seems so strong, God will give his people a way out. And then in the next verse, verse 14, he writes, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Run from it. God is faithful and he will give you a route of escape. Take it. Run from idolatry. Again, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, Paul writes, flee from sexual immorality. You remember we read that passage a few weeks ago. God will give you escape when you are tempted. He will make you strong to resist sexual temptation if you ask him. Flee, run from it. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, in a passage where Paul writes to his younger fellow minister, a minister he trained, Timothy, Paul says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Flee from the love of money. If you are a man or woman of God, flee from the love of money and that craving for it and all the sins that come with it. Run from it. I know the materialistic culture most of us were born in and that we live in today seems overwhelming, like a tidal wave sometimes. I know it feels sometimes like we can never be content until we have as much stuff as the next guy. But God is faithful and he will give us escape from that craving. Flee from that craving for money and pursue the more important things of life. Righteousness and godliness, faith and love and endurance and gentleness. These things that Paul lists here for Timothy. These things really do make life better. In 2 Timothy, Paul's other letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 22, Paul says to him, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Timothy was still a young man at this point when Paul wrote this to him. Paul says, flee from youthful passions, these desires that fill up your mind but have no real lasting value. God is faithful and he will set you free from them. Pursue things that really last and that hold real value for our lives. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. All who call on the Lord from a pure heart pursue these things. Whatever temptation you're facing, when you recognize that it is not in line with the will of God, flee from it. Run away from it. Don't spend time in it. The longer you spend in it, the more you're likely to fall to it. Run from that temptation. Now, when you run from something, it's helpful to know what you should run to instead. And so Paul teaches Timothy, run to righteousness and godliness, faith and love, steadfastness, gentleness, and peace. Basically, run to God and run to the things of God. Resist the devil. In his defiance of God, the devil works to destroy everything God made to be good, including us, including our lives, because God made our lives to be very, very good. So resist the devil, like Jesus did out there in the wilderness when the devil tempted him those three times. And in the end, the devil left him. Jesus remembered the words of God in Scripture, and with them he warded off the devil's attacks. He resisted the devil. Study the Scriptures. They can strengthen you to resist the devil at those key moments in your life when he is trying his hardest to tempt you into sin. Resist him like Job did. Especially at the end, he never let go of his trust in God. He wavered, he felt broken, he questioned God sometimes, but he never stopped believing that God would help him in the end, and God did. Job's wife told him, curse God and die. But he never did. He was faithful to God, believing that God was faithful to him. He resisted this pressure to turn against God. 1 Peter, the first letter we have from the Apostle Peter, chapter 5, verse 6, says this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Peter says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's a predator. He's out to destroy. Resist him. And we can resist him because we know that God cares for us. Humble yourself before God and cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. In times of temptation, he will never leave you. You may suffer a little while, but then God himself, Peter says, will restore you and he will strengthen you and he will establish you. Don't give up. Resist the devil. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. James was a younger brother of Jesus and became a great leader in the early church in the city of Jerusalem. James wrote, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The devil cannot overcome you if you are walking with God and if you resist him. He will flee from you if you resist him. Run to God, draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. God is faithful. He is like the best king ever. He demands the highest respect, but you know he will absolutely always provide for the good of his people. And so he is completely worthy of that respect. And he will give everything he has to help his people. He's like the best parent imaginable, compassionate and stern and demanding in all the right ways, and always, always there when his children need him to guide them and to help them. There is no temptation our enemy, the devil, can throw at us that our God cannot help us escape and endure. So 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 again. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. He will provide a way out. So don't be afraid. Sometimes we have these sins that control us. Some of us struggle with addictions, and you know how controlling they can be. Every time you fall to that sin again, you come out of that and you think, why did I ever do that? But it's so powerful. And there are more subtle temptations that control us too, like temptations to anger, where you just can't control your anger as well as you thought you would be able to, or fear, where you're afraid, and then later you think, why was I so afraid? Why didn't I trust God? Or desires that we know are not pleasing to God or good for us, and we'd like to get rid of them, but we keep chasing after them anyway. Sometimes it feels like we'll never overcome these sins that have this power in our lives. They're too powerful for us. And that is true. By ourselves, they are too powerful for us. We cannot break free from them on our own. But our God is faithful. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. God helps us overcome sin in our lives. Romans 8, verse 13, letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in the city of Rome, says, by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. He's talking about the Holy Spirit there. The Holy Spirit of God. And he's talking about putting to death sin in our lives. Deeds that are fleshly, that are of the body as opposed to godly, as opposed to from God. God's Spirit helps us overcome sin. And God gives us a way to endure when we're tempted. He limits the devil's power and provides us with an escape route. James 1 verse 13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. It's not because of some fault in God that we sin. God himself never tempts us, and evil cannot tempt him. There's nothing that evil can offer to God that he doesn't already have. It holds no power to him. It's by our own desire that Satan hooks us with his lies and reels us into sin. But God sets us free from the devil's hooks. He gives us ways to escape. He teaches us to say no to ungodliness. He guides our hearts and minds into righteousness and godliness and love. And when terrible things happen, and when we're tempted to give in to despair, even then, when life is at its very hardest, even then, God helps us, just as he helped Jesus on the cross. And so looking back at the cross and looking at lives of God's people throughout the ages, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." Well, how does Paul know that for those who love God, all things work together for good ultimately? May not feel like it at the time, but how does Paul know that God works in every situation to bring about good for His people? Well, he looks at the cross and he remembers Jesus and how Satan did his worst to Jesus. And yet God used even that terrible event to bring about the greatest good. And so even when our brothers and sisters around the world face persecution, or even when tragedy strikes close to our hearts, even when our dreams are broken, and when we hurt, and when we're afraid, even then we know that our God is faithful. In every situation, all things work together for good for those who love God. Not automatically, but because God is still in control. God will never leave His people. He carries us through all the tidal waves of life. He gives us ways of escape from every temptation so that we can endure. He strengthens us and restores us when we suffer. Everything Satan tries to do to destroy us, God takes it and works it out for good for those who love Him. He does this so that we will know that we can flee from temptation and run to God and find shelter and hope. So, my friends, flee from temptation. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Run to God. If you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. Our God is faithful. May He bless you. Let's pray. Dear God, You know the temptations that each of us deals with, and we know at least some of those in our hearts, and we lift those before You, and we ask for Your help. Lord God, give us escape routes, and give us the will and the trust in You to take those escape routes, that we may draw near to You and resist our enemy, the devil. Lord, cleanse our lives and remove these sins that keep coming up over and over. And one by one, take them out of our lives that we may be holy and pure in Your sight, that we may grow closer and closer to You. Because we acknowledge as Your people that Your ways are good and right, and we put our trust in You. Thank You, Lord, for the great things You did for Jesus and through Jesus. Thank You for the ways that He resisted temptation, not only those three times out in the wilderness when the devil personally came to Him to tempt Him, but as He resisted temptation throughout His life. And thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness to people like Job and the apostles and Paul and Peter and others. Thank You for Your faithfulness to us today. Lord, we do put our trust in You. We love You and we give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.